sent me to announce the year of the Lord's goodwill and the day of our God's vengeance, to comfort all those who grieve.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'd ask you to, if you have your few Bibles or if you have your Bible app, if you could open up to Isaiah 61. In Isaiah 61, the first three verses of that chapter is the Son of God speaking to us. And then verses 10 and 11 are the believer's response to that good news that the Son of God proclaims. And so if you have a Bible or a Bible app open, I'd ask you to read along with me verses 10 and 11. This is the believer's response. And thank you so much for handing out some of these Bibles. So Isaiah chapter 61, it's on page 744. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. And now if you have your Bibles open, if you could read with me chapter 61, verses 10 and 11. This is the believer's response to that good news. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of His righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. The picture that I'm using to help me remember the promise that God gives us that leads us to this song of praise is this picture of a Monopoly game. Now, how many of you have played Monopoly? How many of you have been in this situation where you are the person on the left? And your opponent has all the monopolies and all the hotels and the houses. And you, sorry, but those of you who got dollar bills, you are the losers over here. You picked up on that. So you've got a dollar left. And what do you do when the person says, let's keep on playing? You say, no, I want to give up. And the person who's winning says, give up. This is when it gets fun. This is a picture for me of this lesson because this lesson is speaking to people who just want to give up. Now, just remember that Isaiah is an unusual book. The first 35 chapters of Isaiah is speaking to his contemporaries who have experienced the threat of the Assyrians threatening their existence in Judah and Jerusalem. And then there's this little historical bridge, four chapters, where twice Hezekiah the king faces a life and death issue, and he comes before God in prayer, and God miraculously delivers him. But then in chapter 39, after these miraculous deliverances, envoys from Babylon come, and King Hezekiah shows them everything in his kingdom. He wants to impress upon the Babylonians that he is a worthy ally, that he and the Babylonians should join together against the Assyrians. And God had said over and over again, don't trust some other nation, just trust me. And so Isaiah has this sad duty of going to King Hezekiah and saying, you know, all these guys who saw everything in your kingdom, they're going to take everything they saw. The city is going to be destroyed. The people are going to be taken off into exile in Babylon. But it's not going to happen in your lifetime. And then the last half of Isaiah is this incredible section where the Holy Spirit is speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and he's speaking not to his own generation, but to a generation that hasn't even been born yet, the generation who will experience that exile in Babylon that he had foretold in chapter 39. And our lesson for today, Isaiah 61, is in this second half of Isaiah, where he is speaking comfort to the exiles, who certainly are in a place where they just want to, I want to give up. And the opponents won't give in. So the prophet begins with these words, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." Who is the me in this text? The first time you read it, you'd go, Isaiah is writing this, so the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, on Isaiah. But Jesus, when he was in the synagogue in Nazareth, opened up the scroll of Isaiah to this section, and after he read it to the people in the synagogue there in Nazareth, he said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And so here, as we read Isaiah's words, it's really not Isaiah's words. It's the words of the Son of God. The triune God is present there. The Spirit of the Father is on the Son. And he was anointed. In fact, just before he is in that synagogue in Nazareth, Jesus is baptized. And remember what happens when Jesus is baptized. The Holy Spirit comes down in the form of a dove. He is anointed with the Holy Spirit. And he is anointed to proclaim good news to the poor. Good news to the people who just say, you know what, I'm so defeated, I want to give up. He describes them as the brokenhearted, the captives, the prisoners, those who mourn, those who have a spirit of despair. And you can certainly understand why the people in exile would have been in that situation where, you know, the cards are stacked against us, the Babylonians have all the power, we have nothing, I just want to give up. And the Son of God speaks to them and says, you don't have to give up. I've got good news to speak to you who are afflicted, who feel imprisoned. But it wasn't just to the people of exile, because Jesus reads this lesson 700 years later in the synagogue in Nazareth, and he says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." That the prophet was not recording just the return from exile, but he was speaking to people who were poor and afflicted and brokenhearted and having a spirit of despair for something, some other reason than just being in exile. He was speaking to the people of Nazareth. And because the Holy Spirit has preserved this text for us, he's speaking to us as well. To us who feel so defeated, would like to just give up. You know, sometimes as a pastor and as just as a Christian friend, it can be overwhelming. In 24 hours this past week, a good friend of mine talked to me about the impending death of a family member. another good friend talked to me about the troubles that one of their children was facing. And that person just seems like they're stuck and there's no way out. And then the next morning I talked with another dear Christian brother as he just faced the fact that it looked like his marriage may be ending. And in every one of those situations, it just seemed like there is no solution. And they would like to just give up. But there is no way to get out of this losing game. Now, maybe those are the unusual few, but my guess is there's quite a few of us here today who, even though we put on the happy, smiley, Merry Christmas face, there's a part of us that just feels like we're the losers and would just like to give up. Maybe it's the effects of sin in the world that we've lost loved ones, or we are losing loved ones to death, or that we're feeling the after effects, the aftershocks of some sin that somebody has committed that's close to us, and it hurts, and we'd just like to get out of it. Or for all of us, if we're willing to admit it, we all are in bondage because we all have sins that we just fall into over and over again. And when we fall, Satan is right there to accuse us and condemn us. And would like to just give up and quit the game. In fact, some of you may be just saying, you know what, I want to quit the game. I want to get out of this world. And self-harm thoughts have come to your mind. It's to the poor, the afflicted, the brokenhearted, the prisoners, the people filled with the spirit of despair, that the Son of God comes. He has been anointed by the Holy Spirit to speak good news. And that good news is the year of the Lord's favor. The good news is that God promises a restart. The year of the Lord's favor is most certainly a reference to the Old Testament law called the year of Jubilee. In Leviticus chapter 25, Moses writes about this year of Jubilee. He says, "Have the trumpet sounded everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. Sound the trumpet throughout the land. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each of you is to return to your family property and to your own clan." Get that? It's a restart. Each of you, in the year of the Lord's favor, in the year of Jubilee, in the Old Testament was supposed to be every 50 years, in that year of the Lord's favor, it was a restart. Each of you is to return to your family property and to your own clan. If you feel like, I am so defeated, I want to give up, then aren't you also in that place where you say, Lord, I want to restart, and that's what God promises. Imagine if you're playing Monopoly and the guy who is winning says, hey, this seems to be, you know, lopsided. Let's just go back to the bank owning all the property, and we all have $2,000, and let's just go back to the start. That's what Jesus is promising us. He promised it first to the exiles. It's a time for restart, a time that we can go back to our homes. They were in exile 1,000 miles from home. The Son of God, speaking through the prophet, says, there is going to be a restart. You are going to get to go back from exile to your rebuilt homes. and you'll get a new start. And that's what Jesus promises to us. He promises a new start for us too. He promises that you and I can go back to our homes. Now, what is our home? It's not just the place that we grew up, because quite honestly, for some of you, that place is not a nice place to go back to. The home that we can go back to is where our father and mother used to live, where Adam and Eve lived in the garden. The restart that God promises, the year of the Lord's favor, to go back home and, in a sense, be back in the Garden of Eden, and God looks at us and he sees us as holy and perfect as Adam and Eve were before the fall. That's what Jesus came to proclaim to the people in Nazareth. That's what he came to proclaim to us. This is what we're celebrating. We are delivered from the bondage to our sin. We are forgiven because the Son of God came to die for us. And we get to go back by faith and see ourselves as perfect and holy, and to have the joy of God coming and walking with us in the cool of the day, that God is present with us. And yet we still suffer the consequences of sin. That news doesn't change the sadness that I experienced in those 24 hours. That news doesn't change the fact that people die and we suffer the aftershocks of our sins and the sins of others. And so it comes as no surprise that the early Christian church celebrated Jesus coming and then said, let's celebrate Advent not just by looking forward to celebrating Christmas. Let's celebrate Advent, this season of the church year, by looking forward to the day that the King is going to come back. You know, Jesus came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, that time when we can come back to our homes. And that's what Jesus is going to bring when he comes back. It's going to be the year of the Lord's favor, and you and I will be able to go back to our homes, not just spiritually believing that we are God's forgiven children, but back also physically. Our bodies will rise from the grave and we will experience a new heavens and a new earth. We will experience the paradise that Adam and Eve lost. If you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn with me to the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, and take a look at the vision that Jesus gives to John. It's a proclamation of the year of the Lord's favor, the year of Jubilee, that you and I are going to have an incredible new start. He says, then the angel of the Lord showed me the river of the water of life. Remember in the Garden of Eden, there was that river, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. No wonder, for the last 20 centuries, the church has been praying, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come and let us see this year of the Lord's favor. And then God's people respond with joy as they celebrate the coming of the King. And in that celebration, the believers are pictured as a wedding couple. And when I thought about that, I just Googled wedding gown and tux, and this picture came up. This is actually a royal wedding that took place this fall. This is Prince Joel. He is the prince of Ethiopia in exile. He can trace his family history all the way back to Solomon. And he got married to a young woman named Adriana. And they were married in an Ethiopian Coptic ceremony. And as part of that ceremony, you'll notice she's not only dressed in a beautiful wedding dress and he's dressed in a tux, but there's also this cape and then a crown that reminds them that they are royalty in God's sight. Every Christian wears that crown. And that picture is what the prophet Isaiah says is our response. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. We rejoice because the year of the Lord's favor has been proclaimed to us, that we too have been anointed. Just as Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit at his baptism, you and I have been anointed by the Holy Spirit in our baptisms. And in their baptism, we have this marvelous promise that we are clothed in these new wedding garments. In Galatians chapter 3, we're told that we who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. Christ is like this cape that they put on. That God looks at us and he sees Christ himself. Or in Ephesians chapter 5, we're told Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. There's a reference to baptism. To present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. The garments of despair have been changed to garments of rejoicing. That's true of us right now. Right now, we are clothed in these garments of salvation. That God looks at us and he doesn't see our sins, but he sees the perfection of Christ. In fact, I don't know about you, but I don't particularly like that picture of the prince. When I found this picture, I went, oh, there's got to be a better picture of the prince. Do you see him? You know, his tie is kind of crooked. You know, and he has a kind of an odd look on his face. You know, like he's not really happy. And then he's kind of showing, you know. So I looked for a better picture, and I couldn't find one. And I went, well, that's okay. Because it's really not about us. It's about the wedding garment that clothes us. And so as God's anointed, we look forward to that day when Jesus comes back. And what we see by faith, clothed in the righteousness, the garments of salvation of Christ himself, perfectly forgiven, the whole world will see that. That's what Psalm 11 brings out, or verse 11 brings out. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. That when Jesus comes back, it'll be like we'll be put on parade so that the whole world will be able to see us in all of our royal glory. That's not only here, it's what the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, now in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. In other words, don't be surprised when you are in a place in your life where you say, I just want to give up, it's too hard. He explains, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. when Jesus comes back, the whole world will have to acknowledge and praise this God of salvation. And that's brought out also in this promise, this picture that John receives of the wedding supper of the Lamb of God in Revelation 19. He writes, "Alleluia, for the Lord our God, the Almighty One reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give praise to Him. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And she has been given clean, bright, fine linen to wear. For the fine linen is the not guilty verdict pronounced on the saints." To give praise to Him. When Jesus comes back, we who look like the losers are going to be obviously the winners, dressed in the garments of salvation. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time believing that, and I have a hard time looking forward to that day when Jesus is going to come back. And so let's just spend a moment to humbly confess before our God that we do need this year of the Lord's favor, that we need a restart. And so we confess. Sovereign Lord, You can look into our hearts. You see the bondage that's there that maybe nobody else sees. They might think that we have this great Christian life all put together, but You see everything about us. You see the anger, the pride, the bitterness, the hurt. You see it all. And we just want to give up. But it's when we give up that then we're really ready to have a restart. And so, Lord, take us back to our baptisms. Help us see that every one of us here in our baptisms was anointed by Your Holy Spirit. That every one of us here is clothed in the perfection of Jesus. And that's the way You see us. You've anointed us to proclaim good news to the poor. There are people who are hurting around us. So, Lord, use us to proclaim this good news, this year of the Lord's favor to those around us. And we join with the church across the centuries. And we pray for the final fulfillment of this vision. We pray for that ultimate year of Jubilee, when we get to go home, body and soul, before Your throne. And so we join with the Christian church, and we pray, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.